You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
The Motor Zone is proudly sponsored by Mahindra Claremont. Call us on 021-569-6800 to book a test drive and we'll come to you. Are you on the lookout for a budget-friendly sport utility vehicle that exceeds your expectations? Look no further than Mahindra Claremont. Our vehicles will pleasantly surprise you, but to truly believe it, you need to experience them firsthand. Give us a call at 021-569-6800 or visit mahindra-claremont.co.za to schedule a test drive, and we'll bring the experience to you. And here's an exclusive deal for Zone Radio listeners. Secure the Mahindra XUV 700 AX5 for just 419,999 Rand, saving you a remarkable 60,000 Rand. And we'll include a free safety film worth 3,500 Rand. Don't let this incredible offer pass you by. Mahindra Claremont will redefine your expectations in affordable SUVs.
It's 10:30 and time for the Motor Zone with James Donaghy from JSJ Motors. Good morning, James, and welcome back.
Yeah, morning to everybody. Back again, yeah, in the land of living with a little bit of rain, bringing down the dust. Yes,
it was a pleasure having that little bit of rain. A little bit here and a little bit there.
Yeah. We do. We need it. So the green will come out again.
Yes.
Hey, yes. Okay. So we're going to talk a bit about cars today. I don't see on the news that we're talking about electric vehicles.
Yes, they were.
Believe me, there's done a lot of homework about that. But we'll talk about that maybe next time.
Yes.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about certain things that we found out. It was quite an interesting article I found that for the latest people with it, well, the newest people with the cars, what they call the key fob. So it's what a key, you don't have to open it, you push the remote, doors open, you can put the key on the side, you've got a push start button.
These are all the latest cars. In the new cars,
yes,
these new
ones. These are what they call the key fob. So this is the push start button and things like that, the control unit reads everything. As long as your key is within a certain radius of the car, it will open if you touch the. You don't even have to push the remote. You can touch the button on the door.
So the key has to be close by.
Close by, yes. Okay. And they can read this the thing. And this is what I'm getting to with this, the key fob. What they found is, this is costing people a lot of money that they found overseas because they tend to renew their cars a lot more. The batteries are getting worn down quite quickly. They're losing their charge quite quickly. And it's costing people quite a lot of money. And the people will find this as well. Probably not as much. People aren't locking their cars. So what happens is if you've got this latest system with one of the key fobs and it's remote control, start button, things like that, lock your car at night. And do not keep the key close by to the car anywhere about 5-10 meters. Some people, people got nice garage. They come in, they don't lock the car, they just hang the key up or put it on a table just around the corner from the garage, from the car. And what happens is the engine ECU is looking at that key all the time. So it's keeping the key in contact.
And it's draining the battery.
And it's draining the battery. So you've got to make sure that when you go there, lock your car. And as you might think it might be inconvenience, but it's actually not. So all the control units, there's so many control units in the car that they're looking for memories and they're looking for this. There is certain little, once it goes down, it only draws about 0.5 amps, very, very low amps. But if you've got the system going up, it'll draw about 1 amp. Because the control unit is always trying to find the key. So it's keeping itself busy.
It stays alive.
So that's the thing is you want to shut it down, shut the whole system down. Even with your normal car, we suggest you do it anyway. Lock it down so the control units, they do go to sleep. We've tested it. Yeah. They tell us to test it for current or for draw system. So you put a multimeter on and you watch it. It'll go from, say, 1.5, then it'll go 1.2, then 1.1. 0.8, 0.5, and it just goes below. Anything below 0.05, lacquer, it's back.
It doesn't affect central locking, though. Is that completely different or is it the same?
Well, it's the same thing. It hasn't locked, you know, so it'll stay open. And this is the thing, is the control unit is just looking for that information, what it should do. It's looking for you, so it's keeping you up to date. Well, it's keeping the car up to date and wants to go. It doesn't know if you've gone away or not, or you've gone to sleep, it's still awake.
Yes.
So the thing is, get it to go to sleep, so it can relax and keep your battery fully charged. You know, you don't want your battery going down because the new batteries, anywhere from, Especially the stop-start batteries, anywhere from about 4,500 rand upwards. Yeah, extremely expensive.
Now, I thought, you know, with all the new cars and all these gadgets that you don't need, once you just close the door, and then you know that the mirrors sort of close in and they do the thing. So, you see, I thought it did it automatically.
No, then you walk away. No, it doesn't. People have got the keys in the pocket. So you drive, even motorbikes now. So the motorbikes and the cars have got, you can keep the key in your pocket. Just don't lose the key because it'll cost you a fortune to get it done because it's got to reprogram everything. It's extremely expensive. But it's got to know that everything is now. It's going to sleep. You put it to bed, basically.
It's got to know that you can say goodnight.
Good night to you in the morning. See you in the morning. But if you don't tell it, it won't see you in the morning. It's been staying awake waiting for you. It's like that wife.
Well, that makes sense.
When we go out on a jaul and the guy comes home, the wife is waiting for you.
Yes, and you try and turn the clock. You try and turn the clock back.
And it's unfortunately the wife is fully charged and you're not. So look at it that way. So tell it to go to sleep. Let it go to sleep, and it'll just save the battery. Not now. You might find it, but over a period of time of 2 or 3 years, instead of the battery lasting 5 years, it'll only last 3 years. And you say, but you don't tell the car to go to sleep. So that's why keep it and then go to sleep at night, even if it's in your garage. Lock it, hang the key up, make sure it's away. And especially, like I said, overseas they do that. Is that what they've got to identify? It's a special machine, and it actually can read the key. And it'll read the key, even if it's 20 meters away, it'll read the key and open the car. And away they go. You don't need the key once the car starts. You don't need the key. The key can be 550 kilometers away, as long as you don't switch it off. But they've got so much equipment there to try and start the car. And also, with that key fob as well, that special key, you can get a little transmitter cover. You put it in so it won't transmit more than a certain amount of meters. So I'm sure that people used to tell you, like, the remote control jamming devices, what they use as well. So that's, like I said, always check it. But this is what they do, is they try and read the car so they can steam. It's only the high-end cars, but you don't want to lose that on a million rand car and thing, whatever.
And what is the price of the key if it's lost or?
Anywhere from probably about 3,500 rand upwards, depending on what make and model.
Wow.
So it's a lot of money. It's got to get reprogrammed to the car. So it's got to get the computer fitted into the car. You got to get the key. And a lot of times you can only get from agents. So you have to order it through the agents to get the key.
And sometimes they don't have stock.
Some people do, but most of them usually base the same key, but you have to have your key cut. A lot of them still have the old manual key. That just in case the battery does go flat at some stage or you left the lights on, you can open the car to open the bonnet to get the battery jumped.
Okay. All right. That was my next question to you. What happens?
I can read it. But not all of them have it. So that's the problem. Yeah. It's not all of them have it. So there's a ways and means that you actually cannot open the car. So they'll have to go to the agents. They've got special ways of doing it. And they know. But most of the time, some of the newer cars now, you can't just open the bonnet or something because the battery's gone flat. So they've made sure there's a lot of things that you got to do. So it's not easy. Just make sure if the battery is, you're not sure of it, go and have it tested. Excuse me.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's the biggest thing. So if you're looking at a newer car, put it to sleep at night. It needs its rest.
That's a good tip, James. a very good tip.
Right, then the other thing I was thought very interesting as well is that 73% of new cars now cost over half a million rand.
I know.
73%. So, and like I said before, buy what you can afford. You know, there's a lot of good new cars out there at a lower price. But 73% it's quite high. I didn't realize it myself how high it was. But they're over a million rand. So, look, some people have, like I said, you buy what you can afford and look after it now. Because I think that's the biggest thing is people have come to the stage where, as we were growing up, your parents could only afford one car. And as money came in, everybody might have had 3 or 4 cars situated around the driveway. That, I think, is still very much valid, but I think it's going to slow down again.
Yes, bicycles are going to come in soon.
but the price of the bicycles, I don't think you'll be able to afford that either.
And then you've got to look out for specials. Mahindra's got a special game.
So look at that.
Look at that.
Yeah, so and it's a lovely-looking vehicle, too, and it's got everything it needs in it. So, yeah, like I said, 73% are over half a million rand. So it is expensive. 1,082 of these vehicles are more than half a million rand. or 500,000 rand. So most of them there you can see are quite expensive. Most of it went up because of COVID, during COVID. So the demand dropped. They weren't manufacturing the cars. And then when COVID was, everybody started coming back, then the price of the cars came up because the demand increased. And during that time, there was a lot of modifications. But the problem lies, there was so much there wasn't enough parts coming through. So, of course, high demand on the parts put the prices up because everybody knows if there's a demand for something, they put the prices up to make it.
And I really do feel for the youngsters that have just left school or, you know, they're just starting to step out into this big, bad world.
Yeah.
And they would never be able to afford the vehicles.
Unless it's their parents
help them. Help them. But, you know, it's very sad because, remember, in our day it was Golfies and Forksies.
Times have changed. But you remember, and this is what a lot of people forget now, there's a lot more vehicles out on the road now, well, different styles, models, makes, whatever. It's because now it's all computer generated. Whereas the guys used to sit there with behind big desk, they were draftsmen, they used to design the car, they used to make a clay model. Now that's all computerized. Yeah. So they just go there and it does it, whatever, and they want to change minor things a lot quicker. So the manufacturing of a later vehicle is much, much quicker than what it used to be.
I think there was a statement made about old vehicles. They were trying to prevent old vehicles to stay on the road. Remember, there was a statement made years ago?
Well, that's what Rowan Atkinson said. Keep your cars a little bit old. Don't just jump into the EV market or don't just jump into the latest technology because it's going to become expensive. Just keep your car up to date. Go and have the emissions control. Look, they're going to get strict and we'll take them off. What they're doing in the UK is a couple of countries doing it. They're taking the old cars, redoing them completely, the whole inside and out, and putting an electric motor in. But they must be careful. It's also like I don't believe it's the right thing to do. A lot of people will say, you're destroying a new car.
Yeah.
So I think the heritage of the car is quite bad. Yeah.
I think they were talking about the mileage. If you're a certain mileage, then that's it. Yes. You're off the road.
Yeah, they do that.
And then I feel sorry for Sean because he's trying to get his Isuzu to a million.
It depends on what country. I think Japan are quite strict. They do it 5 years and that's a vehicle. Irrespective of mileage, vehicle must come off unless you get certain dispensation. I'm not 100% sure.
It's only in South Africa. No.
We drive them as much more than what they actually should be driven and a little bit extra. So there was parts that were like during the pandemic, all the semiconductors, all the electronic components became expensive because there was a high demand and they weren't manufactured because everybody was sitting at home or they were laid off. So, and that was a problem to get someone that was that had the skill ready to do things. It might not be much skill, but it's skill nonetheless that you've got to retrain when they come back or get a new person to do it. So everything became slower, and now they've started to catch up with everything because engine control units. Cars were sitting for 6-7 months waiting for a certain component where they manufactured it so the car can run. So that was a big thing. And also now as well with the latest technology, Europe has gone up. They want special emissions control, so it's all more catalytic converters, DPFs, all the systems that control that, they are very expensive. So that also throws up the vehicle price as well, ABS as well, that they want to put standard on every car, airbags as well. So you'll see most cars that come from Europe now will always have airbags, always have ABS. Same as motorbikes are produced after a certain year and a certain CC must have ABS in Europe. So that throws the cost up of anything. Yes. So there's a lot of advantages to it, but there's also a lot of disadvantages. We can't just afford everything we'd like to see. And also you've got the cars with the latest headlights, self-cancelling headlights. We had the discussion you get this blinded at the last second and it switches itself down.
You're still getting blinded,
unfortunately, and there's a lot of people still not, the lights aren't working. That you can't do, but they can disconnect that system. But it's a convenience system. That's all it is. It's just we get lazy and we don't want to move a little lever and things like that. So, and the lights have become a lot brighter, especially on the newer cars with the LEDs and then you've got the Xenon headlights. Those are expensive to replace a globe. They've come down in price, but it used to be 500-600 rand per globe, if not more. So they were expensive. So that is where the cost has all come into the cars. So people have got to realize that's why the price has jumped up. So with the lower value car, the below 500,000 rand, they don't put all these, a lot of fancy stuff in there. They still have ABS because ABS has become mass produced. It's a lot easier now. It used to be if you had a car with ABS, you were out of this world. And with airbags, so they don't put all airbags. They might just have one to keep the cost down, but as long as it's one.
That is interesting, though. Where would the one be? Where would they place the one? The driver?
Just the driver.
And the passenger?
You get nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. You're not there.
And the back seats? Do some cars have airbags on the sides and
on the
car?
Sides. All sides and on the roof. So you'll have it on the pillars. The pillars, because that's normally where your head will hit. Yes. So they've got it on the pillars and on the top of the roof. So the roof will have a airbag on the side as well.
So some cars now they've done away with that. It's just the driver.
No, that's just the latest top end of cars will have it. But for the newer one to keep with Euro standards, as I say, like your Suspresso and things like that, they'll only have one airbag. So it meets minimum requirements of certain things, especially for the insurance companies, and if you want to use Uber, and they'll give you a discount because your car's got the more safety things. So it's more for you to survive an accident than anything
else. I'm actually glad you mentioned insurance because they ask all these questions.
Yes, they do.
Have you got air? But they come and they.
But they know which vehicles have it as well. Yes. You know, so you've got to be careful. And there is people that actually are repairing airbags. Not so much in this country because the airbag to replace, a lot of cars get written off because the airbags
are being
activated.
But you can get injured with an airbag as well.
Yes, you do get hurt. I don't believe it does hurt you, but it's there to save your life. It'll stop you going through or hitting something and bouncing around in the car like a yo-yo or something. Or more a dingbat, as we call it. Not that people remember the dingbats.
Yes, I know the dingbat.
That's it. So it stops your head hitting the steering wheel. It stops your head hitting the A post, the B post, and things like that.
There's a reason why it's there.
Yes, it's to help make sure that you survive at the end of the day. Remember, life can't be replaced, a car can.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest way.
In the go? Is there two or just one?
I'm not even sure. I think there's only one.
I must check that out.
Check it. You'll see it. And this is another thing as well that I've been noticing a lot of people doing, especially females. I'm not the younger ones.
It's us as
and,
well.
And parents, please, if you've got airbags in your car, put your kids at the back. A lot of them are sitting with their kids on the front lap. They might have a seatbelt on because their gong is bouncing. You know, the gong is very irritating. Yes. So they put the seatbelt on, and the kids are sitting on the front lap. The passenger airbag is a lot bigger airbag than the driver's side. Okay, you're not going to have a kid driving, even though I have seen it. But there's a driver. If that airbag goes, that child can probably be killed. Because the airbag comes out, it is in a high explosion, so just be careful. And it's a highly, it's a nylon mesh, and it's extremely strong. So, people should be careful on that. And I think a little bit more should be done about the safety-wise of that as well. And females walk, sitting, my wife does it as well.
We put our
putting your feet on the dash.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why lots of us do it, especially when the heat is on.
Yes.
You know, it's sort of spread out, but you're right.
Extremely, extremely dangerous.
Yeah. I think we don't expect anything to happen, but like you said, anything can happen.
You know, if you want your knees inside your head, you're looking for that.
Yes.
Because that airbag, and then you end up with a broken back, broken legs, broken pelvis, whatever. Don't do it. That's the easiest way. Tell you, don't do it. I cannot tell you how many times I've told my wife to stop it, and she'll argue with me. It's my car. Yes, okay. But it's a safety thing. So, yes, please just think about it and check the lights. It's still because I see winter
starting to creep in slowly. It's getting dark in the morning and the evening.
Keep your lights. Get your lights sorted. There's a lot of people driving with not even any brake lights or one brake light. So just, like I said last time, tell them.
You know, every time I see a car and those lights blind, I think of you and I say, James has told so many people. He shared it on Zone Radio, the voice of the valley. Your lights are wrong.
Lights
are
wrong.
So change it because it blinds.
Some of them are terrible.
Oncoming cars.
It lightens up too much. Instead of being focused.
Yes.
The normal ones are normally focused at a certain angle, where some of these other cheaper ones, the light just goes and booms type of thing. Yeah. And it shouldn't be. It should be at a certain angle, and it should focus on a certain point. Because that's what you want to see. You want to see down in front of you. We want to see what's on the road. Don't want to see what's in the tree.
Yeah. But that's not all. Now you've got the cars that want to have those little lights running, you know.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Running along. And then you've got them on the wheels. As it turns, it lights.
Why?
Because it's fashion.
Why?
It's just fashion. We are too old for that. So now I'm not going to waste my money on LEDs that go around the car.
But then again, so the colour is not the certain colours you're not supposed to have because it relates to SAPs and
anything to do with emergency vehicles.
That's right. But they still have it
because they're remote control. Yeah. So you can use a little remote control.
It's a remote control.
And you change the aspect of the car. You change the little lights.
So you can switch it up and you see SAPs coming past or anybody off.
Okay. So you can see, and it's a romantic thing. If you're sitting outside with a girlfriend, you can change the mood and listen to the music game, boom, boom. Like on Sunday, we had all the BMW guys out here.
Yes, they were here.
Yes, there was a crowd of them coming out here, lovely cars, very loud, and unfortunately someone had an accident there. With
sadly.
One of them,
so, they were doing donuts, and, well, I mean, that's for motorbikes, but they were doing wheel spins and things like that.
So they were doing their thing.
They were drifting as well, I believe. Some of them were drifting.
If something happens there, so, I mean, the cost is just... But I can't afford one, so it's not mine.
But if you're a petrol head, you know, you're drawn to that.
Yes, yeah. Now you've got to smell the burning rubber, as it would say. But yeah, it was a good show. A lot of people came out. It made the shopping centre again.
Were you there, James?
Yes, I was there when they were there. Myself and Dave from Extreme Pools were there sitting having a look. You know, Dave was keeping having a look. He says, no, not for him. He likes his little... caddy.
So you were there and you were there when the accidental happened as well?
Yes, sir. As we pulled out, even the wife said, no, I'm sure there's an accident. Yeah, it was a Golf, I think, and old Skyline, you know.
Yes.
But that was just stupidity. That's all it is. There wasn't
maybe they
much.
Wanted a dice.
Not the right place to do it.
No.
But yeah, well, it does happen. We were young once. Once.
Yes, and, I know.
We did silly things as well. So yeah, those are the things that we're having a little bit of a look at. The key fob, make sure your car is asleep. Make sure the prices of the car, look after your car. I can't stress enough because of the price of them. Even in the UK, they are getting out of hand as well, and people are complaining.
Really? In the UK as well?
UK as well, because they've also got to be careful now what car they buy because of emissions control, and they find what they call that stupid system. They fine you if you go in a certain... Look, it's a good system to keep the cars out of the city centre. It brings down the admission. And, of course, over the period of years, you've got to think about all the cars, the big diesel trucks and things that were going into town, causing pollution, bad for your health.
Yes.
It is nice. Don't get me wrong. I agree with it. But if you've got to get to your house, and if your house is within this area and you don't have an EV car or a car that meets certain emissions control, you get fined £12 a day.
Really?
Yes. It's extremely horrendous and the people are fighting it.
Thank goodness we stay in South Africa. Yeah, None of that happens here, right?
Well, we get fined for other things. That's stupid. But yeah, so that's the thing. And I see you mentioned earlier that today in the news that more and more EV cars are coming out to the country.
Yes.
We are about 5 years behind. Oh, good. Not in the cars sense, but catching up to the EVs.
You've been saying that every time we talk.
But it's not the way to go. I'll discuss that next time.
Yes. We'll go into more detail.
We'll go into more detail that the one guy, it was quite interesting what he said. But another thing that I picked up as well is electric cars release more toxic emissions than petrol-powered vehicles and are worse for the environment. So
you wouldn't think so, would you?
You wouldn't, but the problem lies is because it's such a heavy vehicle, using more wear and tear on your tires and your brakes, they all contain toxic chemicals.
Okay.
So the rubber, I mean, you see on the racetrack after a Formula One race or even a normal race, you see all those rubble particles. Where do they go? When the rain comes, it gets washed down the drain, pollutes the environment. So... there's a lot. I mean, those cars are heavy. Compared to a normal vehicle, they are extremely heavy.
So we'll have a detailed topic regarding the EUs.
Yeah, I'll read you some of this. You know, also the emissions control and things like that. Okay, you don't get the emissions control. But the problem lies is all the charging stations.
Yeah.
So when you charge something, you need something to create the electricity. With the water at the moment, so we don't know we don't have the hydro electric capacity. Even in America, they don't have it either. I mean, the one guy was saying he wants to do electric trucks for his vehicle for his company, and the guy looked at him from the power company and laughed at him, and he says, "We don't produce that amount of electricity for the city. How can you expect us to produce it just for 30 vehicles every single day?"
Yeah.
So the cost is they've got to look at this. It's nice for that. It's brilliant. A lot of people going to short distance, Even long distance, you get the cars are doing 300-400 miles, yeah. 300-400 kilometers on a thing. But it does change per where you drive and how you drive it, up a hill, down a hill. But yeah, the toxic things off rubber are extremely harmful to the people.
Annie has just come through, I see.
From the UK, yes.
From the UK. Hello, Annie. How are you? Annie, this is an electric vehicle battery to manufacture if you need. So, Annie, we're going to use this for 2 weeks' time. I'm going to send this to James, and then in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have quite a detailed topic on electric cars. So thank you for this, Annie. Thank you.
Yeah, they look at it. I think where else were they doing electric vehicles? Even Joburg, I think they're trying to do electric buses. Cape Town's trying to do electric buses.
Yeah.
It's great. Believe me, it is good. I don't know where you're going to get the electricity from, unless the solar power and they've got their own generators. But that's the cost of it. Now you imagine a bus, how much electricity? We had the old electric vehicles. But the trams had electric power coming, feeding also to a battery system. And those big poles that used to think, but that was pure electricity and we're going.
Yeah.
They were fine for the environment. They were brilliant for the environment. But we just didn't realize it. We wanted something faster because they were too slow.
At the time, we didn't realize it.
We didn't realize it. So we had it. I mean, even the first electric vehicle was, I think, 1904 or something. Yeah. So, and that went, and I think that had a range of about 100 kilometers. So that wasn't bad.
No.
But we just didn't see past. And of course, people are forcing you into taking fossil fuel cars.
Yes.
Big V8s, the Americans also like them as well. You won't see a small car in the States, even if it is electric. So they, another thing, big SUVs that weigh 4 or 5 tons, the same as a truck. They're using brakes, they're using the tires. The tires do not last long. I know my daughter's godfather told me, he says, in this wintertime, guys told him, turn it to economy mode. He says, because the rubber that they use is a lot softer. He says, 1,500 miles, your tires will be shot. And these tires are not small. They're very, very expensive. Yeah. And the Tesla puts out a hell of a lot of power. But it's not only the Tesla. You've got all these other vehicles doing it as well now. Yeah. So there's a lot to do with it. But we'll go through this. I'll keep this for next week.
Because the time has run out
for us. Run out?
Yes, it has. So, James, could you give out your contact numbers, please?
Contact
me. In 2 weeks' time, we're definitely going to have a detailed conversation regarding electric cars.
So they've got any questions, they can get them going. They can get hold of you. And then if they want to know something, I'll look it up and I'll find out for you. But there is something, there's changes on the way. Unfortunately, we're going to be caught second as well.
Right.
They can get hold of me, 081-070-4919.
There we go. James, see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, cool. Everyone, have a good one.
Have a lick of
check week. Your lights.
Yes, I will. and my belts and everything else in the car.
Yes, tires.
Everything else. Yeah, thank you, James.
Okay. Bye.
The Motor Zone was proudly sponsored by Mahindra Claremont, redefining your motoring expectations.
Revolutionize your work with the Mahindra S4 single cab from Mahindra Claremont, your go-to affordable and reliable workhorse. Priced at just 243,043 rand, excluding VAT, it's a steal. Call 021-569-6800 or visit mahindra-claremont.co.za to book a test drive, and we'll bring the vehicle to you for a week-long test. And here's an exclusive offer for Zone Radio listeners. Enjoy free company branding of up to 5,000 Rand. Don't miss out on this unbeatable deal. Mahindra Claremont, where reliability meets affordability.